Hello, this is author and artist Bunny Michael. We all have a higher self, and we can access our higher self once we start unlearning the false beliefs from our culture and our trauma that taught us we're not enough. So get cozy and join us as I answer listeners' questions and we all unlearn from each other's problems. Welcome to XO Higher Self. Everyone, how are you? Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you're feeling well and you're ready to dive into some higher self vibes. I thought I would share with you something that I'm working on in my personal journey connecting to my higher self. That's kind of a new thing for me. It's very much a 2024 new vibe for me. And that is implementing more play in my life, as in doing things for fun, for the fun of it. Play is something that we typically associate with childhood, obviously, but play is also really important for adults. You can define play as something that you do for fun without an agenda, which is an important distinction for me because there's a lot of fun, creative things I do that I have an agenda behind. For example, doing a drawing or painting or writing, you know, things that could be associated with play I do for work. So I have to be really intentional that this activity that I'm doing for play doesn't have an agenda in terms of needing to be productive or needing to accomplish something or needing to make it about being enough. Child development and trauma experts are discovering more and more that play is an essential part of healthy brain development. And a lot of us grew up in homes where we actually didn't get to have that real connection to play as much as we might have needed, because maybe we grew up in homes where there was a lot of strife or stress. There didn't seem to be space for us to just be free and play and be silly. We might have had to deal with really adult situations, even though we're only young kids, or maybe our parents parentified us in many ways and we had to take care of younger siblings and things like that. So a lot of us were denied that time in childhood where it was what we really needed was just free time to just play and use our imaginations and have fun and laugh and be silly. And I grew up like that. You know, I did have fun when I was a kid, but there was a lot of stress in my family home because there was a lot of financial stress. And my parents worked all of the time. And so me and my sisters were often home alone. And we had a lot of responsibilities. We had a lot of chores. And I don't think that it's bad to have responsibilities as kids, but it was to the point where it was just too much looking back at it. And my parents raised us with what they knew. My mom is Samoan, and a lot of the tradition that she comes from, children have a lot of responsibilities to the family and to the home, a lot of work to do around the home. And it was a way to discipline kids. So we grew up like that. And it had its benefits because I definitely have a pretty good work ethic. I definitely work hard. But on the flip side of that, I've had to really unlearn this need to be constantly being productive and not centering play, not centering things just for the fun of it or just to be silly or just to have some more joy in my life. So that's something I'm definitely working on and trying to think of different things that I can do that are just for play. For example, I really like playing games. I love playing cards. I love playing this game called Rummy Cube, which I just learned about probably like 6 months ago from my friends. And now ever since, I really like playing with it. And I like doing puzzles. That's something that I enjoy doing. But I'm trying to think of other things to do for play. So if any of you have any tips or ideas or want to share with me things that you do just for play as an adult, I would love to hear it. I would love it if you sent us a DM at XOHigherSelf on Instagram, because it would be cool to like think of new ideas for things to do for play. For me, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are in the similar boat, like they want to do more joyful things without an agenda, but sometimes we don't really know exactly what to do because we're so used to doing things that it like doing things that we have responsibilities towards. And I know what some of you are thinking. It's like, well, I'd love to do something for play, but I really don't have time. Here's the thing. A lot of times we think we don't have time for something because we're just not prioritizing it. And we don't realize how much stress takes time. It takes a lot of time and energy to be stressed. And when we implement some de-stressing things like play and remember the joy of life, you'd be surprised how much more time you actually do have, because you're not constantly in your head about the next thing, or this worry or that worry. Stress takes so much energy. It is exhausting. And one of the ways that we do de-stress is by prioritizing time that isn't about an agenda. And I know it's like, well, that seems like a really privileged perspective. But if you actually look at, like, studies have proven that doing those types of activities that are not about work or productivity actually make work and productivity smoother and easier. So a lot of times we think in order to be more productive, we need to work longer or harder, but actually that doesn't necessarily mean that you're more productive. That's why a lot of workplaces now are implementing 4-day work weeks, because there's been all of these studies to show how people actually are way more productive when they have more time off, which is wild. So our brains are very interesting. We're always learning more about ourselves. We're always learning more about what it means to be a human being. But one thing is for sure is that play is very, very important to who we are. And also, you deserve it. You deserve to have time just for fun. And it's wild too, because a lot of times we don't even know what we like to do for fun. Like, okay, maybe we like to go out to eat, maybe, you know, go grab a drink at the bar or something. But I think it's something completely different when you're doing an activity or you're curious about an activity that really is just about being silly and having fun and discovering what that is. So that's what I've been thinking about lately. And I'm hoping to prioritize it more in my schedule, even if it just means one day a week I'm doing something just for fun. I know I'm still figuring it out, but I will keep you updated. Also, send me your tips if you have any. All right, my loves, it's time to get to this episode's first question. Here we go. Subject: religious trauma, death, and dying. I have religious trauma. When I was a kid, I was taught in school Jesus died for my sins, and if I sin, then I'll go to hell. Now I'm so scared of dying and death and that I'll go to hell. I'm terrified to die because I don't know what's next and I don't want to go to hell. Is hell even real? Hi, love. I'm so sorry that so much fear was instilled in you in the name of religion. I do not identify as a religious person, but I do have a deep reverence for the teachings of Jesus on love and the fundamental basis that all human beings are children of God and all loved by God. Now, I want to answer your question not because I have the answer to whether or not you should believe in hell, because that's not something that I feel comfortable telling you what you should believe. But I wanted to approach this from a higher self perspective in the sense of addressing how religious institutions have for thousands of years used the so-called word of God as a tool of domination and oppression through fear of punishment. And hell is the so-called ultimate punishment, right? As human beings, we're programmed for survival. And so death, in a practical way, is something we intuitively want to avoid. Our fear of death is natural and could be looked at not really as fear per se, but the will to survive, the will for life. Our time in these human forms is temporary, but the fragile nature of our existence also makes it beautiful and sacred. It makes every day a gift if you choose to see it that way. For as long as humans have existed, the answer to what happens to us after we leave the body has been a source of wonder and anxiety. We feel much more comfortable if we know what to expect, and death is the ultimate unknown space. Unfortunately, there have been people who have taken advantage of this fear of the unknown and used it as a way to control people. We talk a lot on this podcast about learned hierarchical beliefs, or LHBs, the beliefs we are conditioned with to judge ourselves and each other as more or less worthy human beings. Organized religion has played a major, if not the major, role in establishing this hierarchical perspective. Now, I'm not talking about the actual teachings at the heart of religion, which I believe is really about how we're all sacred, loving beings. I'm talking about the hierarchical structure of organized religion and how it delineates power, claiming that in order to be loved by God, you need to fit into a certain criteria, you need to follow a certain set of rules. Most of those rules were established and interpreted by the leaders of the religious organizations who claim to know the will of God. Jesus's teaching was revolutionary and radical at the time of his life because it claimed that there was no hierarchy in the eyes of God, that every human being was inherently worthy and could have their own personal experience of God, that no matter what class or race or sex you were born into, you are all equal in the eyes of love. In fact, the word sin comes from a Latin archery term that actually means to miss the mark, meaning sinning isn't violating a rule that God will punish you for. It's missing the point of life or the meaning of love. You know how sometimes we make choices that don't represent our value? It's not that God punishes us. It's that we feel the effects of not treating ourselves with kindness and compassion. We punish ourselves through those choices. We create our own personal hell when we devalue ourselves and each other. This is what creates a world of suffering. And we can look at this through the lens of higher self in the same way. When we don't make choices based on our higher self, we suffer. And we are stuck in the illusion. We create our own internal hell when we don't value ourselves, when we don't see our wholeness, when we're constantly trying to fulfill this sense of inadequacy. And God, or higher self, or the divine, or higher state of consciousness, whatever word you want to use, reminds us that we deserve better. We deserve love. And that heaven is a state of consciousness. It's the awareness of love. We are transformed. We are transported to a different reality when we have the awareness of love within us. And so those are the two opposing viewpoints. And a lot of times what organized religion has done is made us deeply afraid that there's something fundamentally wrong with us, and that if we don't measure up, if we don't comply, if we don't follow the rules, if our life doesn't look this way, then we will be punished by some outside force, some force that we have no control over, by this oppressive, fearful, vengeful God. So much of the message of love has been lost in that oppressive hierarchical structure of organized religion. I'm not saying that every church or mosque or temple is like that at all. There are people who are doing amazing, beautiful things within the organization, and That's so, so, so beautiful. What I am saying is that LHBs are sneaky, as we've discovered before, and they will show up and they will use the language of love or the language of spirituality in order to put people down, to control people, to oppress people. And then we end up doing it to ourselves. We question our worth. We start to think there's something fundamentally wrong with us, because we don't feel aligned with a certain rule, or we're afraid, or we're fearful that God doesn't love us, all of these things. And it's really sad when that happens, because we're talking about this message, basically at its core of all religion is that you are loved. And yet it's gotten so distorted. Look, because death is such a vulnerable idea, it's going to provoke some fear in you. But that doesn't mean that death isn't safe. I went to a funeral once, and the pastor leading the service had this really great message about death, and it really, really stuck to me. He said that just like when we are in the womb and we can't imagine what it must be like to cross that threshold and be born into this world, it's the same when we die. We can't imagine what it's going to be like to leave this world and cross into another reality. We can't imagine it and we can't put it into words. But ultimately what it is a new beginning. Ram Dass said, death is like taking off a tight shoe. You are love, and you are held by something much bigger than yourself. You are here to experience the joy of being alive until you're ready for your next adventure. If you're ever feeling unsteady, remember that love is all around you and that you are safe. It's okay if you get afraid of dying sometimes. I mean, that's natural because you want to live. But it also doesn't mean that death is bad or wrong or scary. It's safe. But for now, enjoy your life. Do stuff for fun. And don't worry so much, because there's nothing wrong with you. And you are loved just for who you are. All right, hon, take care. Hello, EXO Higher Self fam. It's Bunny here. I am so thrilled to announce my debut book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, is now available for pre-order. This book is the essential manual for unlearning your limiting beliefs that have been ingrained in you by the toxicity of our culture and your trauma and your socialization. We all have to unlearn this stuff so we can channel the power of our higher self. And everyone who pre-orders this book will receive a special free gift from me to be announced shortly. So hurry to the pre-order link in the show notes and get yourself a copy. I cannot wait for you to read it. Okay, next question. I still have feelings for my ex, but I'm trying to go no contact. Hi, Bunny. My ex and I broke up less than a month ago, and we've been talking on and off. I care about him a lot, and I hold a lot of love for him, and I still think he cares for me. But I think us not being in contact might be the best thing. I have tried no contact, but I always go back to him for some reason. Maybe the chapter isn't closed yet, or maybe I need to move on. I don't know what to do, honestly. Hi, babe. You know, I get this question on this podcast relatively often because breakups are really hard to navigate. And if you notice that almost every episode mentions a breakup at some point, in my book, Hello Higher Self, I dedicate a whole chapter to breakups because often we don't realize how much our learned hierarchical beliefs about breakups make them that much harder to go through. LHBs are the beliefs we have been conditioned with that taught us to look at ourselves and each other through a hierarchical lens, that some people are more worthy than others. A couple LHBs about breakups that I talk about in the book that we get from our culture is the belief that a breakup equals failure, or that the person who got broken up with isn't good enough for the person who broke up with them, or that losing a relationship means you aren't complete until you find a new one. There are many reasons why we're brought up with those perspectives, which I go into way more detail in the book, but for our purposes, I bring that up to say we are never really taught how to navigate a breakup in a healthy way. So it makes total sense to be like, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this, or I'm not sure what boundaries are good for me. A lot of people are under the misperception that if I care about someone, then I should be talking to them. But a lot of the time, the caring and loving thing to do is to take space. Why? Because within each breakup is the opportunity for an awakening that brings you more clarity on your needs, your thought patterns, your attachments, the things you want to change, what you want to let go of, and what you want to manifest. It's a sacred time for self-actualization. A breakup is an opening for spiritual transformation. Our entire purpose here is to let go of the obstacles which keep us from knowing our inherent worth. And the universe is always putting us in situations that are the curriculum for our enlightenment. Sometimes that curriculum is through a relationship, and sometimes it's not. Relationships end when it's time for a different model of curriculum. It's like graduating to a new level or needing to change class. It's like it's coming in a different form now. And I'm not saying that you should never be friends with an ex, not at all. But I am saying that there needs to be enough space for those healing realizations to come into your awareness. Talking to someone you broke up with all the time and expecting to be able to have those needing insights is like trying to hear the lyrics of a song while playing another song really loud at the same time. Some things might come through, but you're going to get pretty distracted, and it's going to be a lot more difficult that way. Taking space from someone who you've shared space with for a long time, it's going to be uncomfortable, and in the short term, it's going to suck. But this intuitive feeling of you that says, I don't know, I think not being in contact is the best thing, that's your higher self speaking to you. And our higher selves are always speaking to us, but sometimes we don't trust it, you know, or we don't like what our higher self is actually saying. And so we ignore it because it's not the easy way. It's not the easy thing. But where do you think, you know, those ideas are coming from? They're coming from the voice of your self-worth, the part of you that wants to be healed, the perspective of your wholeness, which is really cool. I mean, I think we don't give ourselves enough credit about actually how wise we are. I was in a really long-term toxic relationship. One of them. I was in more than one toxic relationship. But one of the things that comes to mind was there was literally years where my higher self was like trying to tell me, you need to get out of this situation. And I would ignore that voice over and over and over again. And then after I finally did leave, I went through kind of a shame spiral of being like, why did I stay? And then I thought, oh, I can't trust myself because I made the wrong decision so many times. But then I realized actually the lesson isn't that I can't trust myself. The lesson is that I need to trust myself more, because there was this part of me that knew exactly what I needed to do that I didn't listen to. So the lesson isn't like I can't trust myself moving forward. No, the lesson is that I absolutely can trust myself, and I need to trust myself more. We know what we need. And even when we're not exactly sure what we need, it just means we need some more time for it to be more clear and to not rush in to a decision. And you can always take time. You can always take some time to be like, you know what? Maybe I can still be friends with my ex. Maybe I can't. But for now, I just need some space so I can actually even understand what's best for me. But when you go immediately into still talking to them every single day, you can't get any clarity. It's like trying to get a bird's eye view from the inside of the house of the relationship, I guess. That's a really bad metaphor, but you know what I'm saying. And it's okay if you go back, you text, you call, even though you said you weren't going to and you did, you keep going back. Okay, that happened. That's the past. And today is today. And we can always make a different decision. You're never bound to a situation that isn't good for you. And the reason why I'm pretty positive that it's not good for you right now is because you wrote in and said that you don't think it's good for you. And then you're like, I just don't know. But you did say, I think it's time for us to go no contact. So I'm just trusting what you're telling me. And I think that you should trust it too. You're beautiful. You're powerful. You're wise. This is a new phase of your awakening and you're ready for it. You're absolutely ready for it. And it's going to make you even more expansive and know yourself more deeply and become more confident in your own self-awareness and trusting your higher self. It's absolutely a beautiful time. Even though it freaking sucks some days, you'll get through the hard parts. All right, babe, I'm sending you so much love. Take care. Every time I've gone out of a relationship, or most times I've gone out of a relationship and I got dumped or I was the one broken up with, most of the time the person who I was with was the one who said we couldn't be friends. And it was always so hard for me to deal with because not only was I broken up with and I missed them, but then also I felt so horrible that they couldn't be my friend at the time. And it was just a really, really bad feeling to lose the companionship and then to also lose the friendship. It really sucked. But I have to say, I'm so happy that those people and those exes had the wherewithal to realize that we actually couldn't continue the way we were and still remain friends and still be able to process and heal and move forward with our lives. And I'm very thankful for the people in my life. When I look back at my relationships, including friendships and stuff, when the other person had the wherewithal to make a higher self decision when I didn't, I'm very grateful for that. Extremely grateful for that. And so sometimes we are that person. Sometimes we're the only one who is making that higher self decision, who is setting that boundary, who is saying, no, not this toxic cycle anymore, or no, not this behavior pattern anymore. And you're the one in the relationship that's having to take that higher self initiative. And it feels really hard because it's like hurtful to the other person, or the other person doesn't want it. And I just want you to know that you should still trust what your instincts are telling you, because it actually is better for everybody in the long run. And I am really, really grateful to those few people who I have been on the other end of that and who did make the right decision for themselves. And it was ended up being right for me too. But at the time it felt horrible. Like it really did feel horrible, but I'm so grateful that it happened. So yeah, sometimes we're being guided to do something and it's not easy, but we're doing it on behalf of love. And when you make a decision based on what love is guiding you to do, it is the best for everybody involved, whether or not they necessarily can see it at the time. Because if you can't be somebody's friend, if it's just too hard, it's actually not helpful to pretend that you can. Like it doesn't actually help them, no matter how much you feel guilty for not being able to, like, to just pretend like you can and then end up not really being in a place to be their friend. Like that doesn't help them. So a lot of this work is about setting the example in the relationships in our life, in small ways and in big ways, but just being the example of our higher selves. This morning when I was journaling to my higher self, I thought about how I wanted to be conscious of love in all of the encounters I had today with people, whoever I saw on the street or whoever I saw in terms of who I'm going to see that are in my life, like my partner and my friends, and just wanting to be a representative of love and wanting to make them feel loved and that they are their higher self. And it sounds kind of corny, but I don't think there's anything more important than that. I honestly don't think there's anything more important than wanting to show up for the affirmation of everybody's worth. And that doesn't mean you have to be like going around being like, I love you, I love you. No, it's just a shift in your consciousness. It's just like the vision to see everybody's wholeness, no matter who it is, and to be that representation in the world. It doesn't even require you to do anything differently necessarily, although sometimes it inspires you to. But like today, for example, none of my plans changed because I said that's what I wanted to do today. I'm still doing what I had set on doing, but I'm doing it with a different awareness. Everybody is just so amazing when you think about it. Everybody's just such amazing creatures. And sometimes it's hard because we're not taught that we are. And it makes me sad to think that so many of us go through our days not realizing how amazing we are and how lovable we are and that we're all we need to be. And so I love doing this podcast because it gives me a voice to remind everybody that's listening that they're all that they need to be. And it helps me remember that I'm all that I need to be. But I also want to do it in all of my relationships and in the people that I see. And it's like, I'm not saying that I'm going to be perfect at it at all, but I do want to set that intention. Which brings me to this week's higher self mantra. This week's higher self mantra is, I am a representative of love wherever I go. I'll repeat it. I am a representative of love wherever I go. So what does that mean? Well, you are love. So you bring love everywhere you go. But when we call in that awareness that we are love, the awareness of who we really are, that empowers it to be able to be shared. You already are love. That already is in you, whether or not you're conscious of it or not. But when you shine the light of awareness on it, that means you're giving it permission to shine out and spread and help illuminate it in the people around you. It's like an illumination. It's like your light shines a light on somebody else. And it's like that light brings the light of awareness to them, hopefully. Sometimes it doesn't, but very often it does. I am a representative of love everywhere I go. So if you're having a bit of a hard day, or maybe you're not feeling great, or maybe you feel stressed, take a deep breath. Exhale and say to yourself, I am a representative of love everywhere I go. There is a powerful love inside of you, just waiting to shine out into the world. So don't hold back. I love you so much, and so does your higher self. And I will see you next week Take care. Bye. If you have a question that you would like to be featured on the podcast, you can write us an email or record a voice memo and send it to xohigherself@gmail.com. For bonus content, including early access to weekly episodes, ad-free episodes, and bonus episodes, be sure to sign up on our Patreon as a subscriber at patreon.com/xohigherself. Or if you listen to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app, you can easily sign up as an Apple subscriber on our show page and get access to that same bonus content. Thanks, y'all. This podcast is recorded in Kingston, New York, and produced by Kara Gilvey and me, Bunny Michael. Original music and sound mixing by Michael Bihari.